Hey, welcome back, everybody, to After Hours. Let's talk. I'm your host, Shorty For Real. And this is the space where the conversation gets a little deeper, a little more honest, and a lot more real once the world finally gets quiet. And tonight, we're diving into something that touches every single one of us, even when we don't recognize it's happening. We're talking about the subconscious patterns we pick up, carry, and repeat, even when they no longer serve us. The habits, beliefs, reactions, and emotional loops that keep us stuck in the same relationships, the same disappointments, the same cycles as we swear we're done with. And tonight, we're not exploring this alone. I'm joined by someone who has dedicated his life's work to helping people unravel these hidden anchors. Matt Johnson, behavioral change strategist, mindset coach, and the guy who has built an empire practice on helping people understand why we do what we do and how to break free. So you guys grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into our conversation. But first, as always, we're going to go into what's on your mind tonight. And one listener wrote in tonight stating, I don't know why I keep choosing the same type of relationship. I always end up with emotionally unavailable partners. I tell myself I want better, but my actions don't match words. How do I stop choosing what hurts me? And for me, what I can say that has worked for me is I had to understand what those patterns were in people that I were choosing, and understand what inside of me was drawing me to those things and people. So a lot of times we think that, oh, we just keep jumping into these relationships, or people just keep coming around me that show the same behaviors or same actions as the last person, but we don't never take time out to stop and think about what it is about ourselves that we're repeating. What are we showing people that we will accept and will take from them? How are we treating ourselves to make people be drawn to us in that sense? So I've learned to step back, look at what's going on in my life, what I need to heal from, what's been bothering me, and moving people into my life that are somewhat the opposite and that have different motives. And I've also had to start treating myself better. So having me time and taking time out to know that I need to take care of myself and show people how to treat me and what it is that I'm looking for. What about you, Matt?
Great question. I help people with this all the time. I will start with a question. Have you ever bought a car and all of a sudden you start seeing that car pop up everywhere on the freeway, right? Most of us have had that experience. Did everyone go out and buy the same kind of car so they could be cool like you?
Right.
Not exactly, right? What happened was you gave your subconscious an emotional experience, right? That's an emotional thing driving a new car, right? It's scary, right? And exhilarating all at once. So your subconscious said, hey, this is important. What happens is your five senses will take in, it's like 11 million bits of information a second, but your conscious mind can only handle like a few hundred of those, right? So we wind up filtering the vast majority of it out. You know, you're not thinking about the blood rushing through your big toe right now, you know, things like that. We filter most of that stuff out. And we have in our brain what's called the reticular activating system, or your RAS. And what that does, it acts like a filter. And that filter, you program it just like you would, you know, do a Google search. You tell it, you know, this is important to me. And all of a sudden, it's going to start, you know, seeing that over and over again, bringing it to your attention. You're always seeing it. It's just a matter of, you know, are you paying attention? There was a fascinating study where they took two groups of people. One group reported being very lucky, and the other group reported being very unlucky. One by one, they took them to a restaurant and put a $20 bill on the floor and in plain sight in front of them. Without exception, the people with the belief I'm lucky all spotted the 20. And also without exception, the people with the belief I'm unlucky all missed it. filtered it right out, because unlucky people don't find $20 bills laying around. So what we've got to do is we're dealing with subconscious processes here. And so your subconscious mind doesn't think. It's not rational. It works just like a computer does. Whatever programming is in there is what it's going to run with. So what you've got to do in this case, beyond doing, you know, any kind of, you know, hypnosis or NLP work, anything like that, there's a really simple thing you can do. Write out your list of what you want in a partner, right? You do that while you're sane, before the hormones start popping, and then you can go back and see, all right, does this person actually meet everything that I'm, you know, wanting in a partner?
Right.
Take that list and put it on your fridge or your bathroom mirror or somewhere you're going to see it every single day for a minimum of 30 days. Go through your list just once a day. Twice is preferable. You know, first thing when you wake up, last thing before you go to bed is, you know, would be perfect. But go through that list once a day and really get into, all right, what would it be like to have this partner? You will retrain your reticular activation system to spot that partner. So when they show up, just like those cars that pop up on the freeway, that you'll actually spot them this time.
Nice. All right. Well, with that being said, welcome, Matt, into the After Hours Lounge. We're happy to have you here. And would you mind just letting the people know a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Matt Johnson. I'm a hypnotist and NLP coach. NLP is short for neuro-linguistic programming. I got into this work when I was diagnosed with PTSD. At the time, I'd already had, you know, 3 talk therapists, and, you know, I tried the meds and all that. I knew that wasn't the route for me. And so when I got my diagnosis, I was luckily familiar with the incredible power of hypnosis. I watched my dad try to quit smoking for over 30 years. He tried and failed every single time, pills, patches, gums, you name it. After one hypnosis session, he told me he never even craved cigarettes again. That's how powerful it is. But it was one of the toughest addictions there is. Wiped it out in an afternoon, right?
Nice.
I was familiar with NLP through a guy named Tony Robbins. Tony famously had a woman that had 152 different personalities. And he was actually able to integrate her right there on the spot in about 45 minutes. I mean, that's the power of this stuff. I don't integrate personalities, but I help people with, you know, severe emotional challenges. You know, they, you know, life's put them through the ringer. They've got emotional baggage, mental problems, right, things like that. I help, you know, take the sting out of old memories and, you know, help them rewrite those subconscious patterns like we were talking about. You kind of got into it a little bit on the intro. If you think about the first time you drove a car, you know, your hands were 10 and 2, and, you know, you were super focused on not hitting anything, right?
Right.
Fast forward a few years and you've got coffee in one hand, cell phone in the other, right? I'm kidding. Please don't do that. But, you know, how does something that took your full focus on day one become so automatic? It's because your subconscious learned how to drive, right?
Right.
Very cool process for driving, but problems can happen when we hand it things we don't want. Negative emotions, limiting beliefs, bad habits, the wrong partner, things like that. When those programs get stuck in there, that's when you need the right tools, which are hypnosis and NLP, to go in and rewrite those programs.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I've always been interested.
It actually is. I know I'm nerdy, but it's a very uplifting, liberating experience. Yeah.
That's good. I've always been interested in the hypnosis. You know, I always seen the with the watch, or, you know, follow the watch. I'm like, does that really work though?
But I don't use a watch. I just use words. But
right. I'm like, I want to go under.
Believe it or not, you're actually going in and out of hypnotic states all the time. If you've ever had a movie make you cry or get emotional or feel empowered or anything like that, you were hypnotized.
Right.
If you've ever been on a long road trip and just kind of zone out, watch it. That's called road hypnosis. It's the same exact mechanism in your brain. It's just it's a shallow trance, but we're going in and out of them all the time. We just don't realize it.
Right. So I wanted to ask, so how does a person realize that they're stuck in one of these loops that we were talking about, you know, being programmed? So how do you like recognize that this is a loop that you're constantly in?
Step one is look at the results you have in your life. Is it what you want? You know, health, wealth, relationships, whatnot. If where you are and where you want to be are, you know, far apart. And, you know, you've actively tried to change it, but, you know, you keep self-sabotaging or keep running into this brick wall. That's a sign. It's, you know, by your 30th birthday, your subconscious mind controls up to 95% of all your day-to-day behaviors, just like the driving, right? And right. So when you've got the wrong programs in there and you try to override that with that 5% conscious mind, you're in for a challenge. You know what I mean? You know, I help people all the time who, you know, they're trying to level up, but they just, you know, they can't get themselves to take action or, you know, do the right things. The first clue with that kind of a situation is you want to look at your buts and your ifs. I could do that, but, or, you know, I would do that if, things like that. And when, you know, when those words start coming up, you set that alert, you know, that mental alert in your brain to, okay, hey, I'm running into a limiting belief here. What is it? And, you know, it's takes a little work to really uncover it. Sometimes journaling can be very effective in kind of bringing it to the surface.
Right.
But step one is identifying it. That's usually the hardest one. The processes to override it are, you know, actually fairly simple.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I have a lot of buts and ifs.
We all do. Yeah.
So once you're able to recognize the loop, then what would be the next steps in order to get yourself out of those?
It just depends. If it's a simple limiting belief, I could run through a quick NLP exercise to change that if you'd like, or, we could just talk about it, but you really, step one, you've identified it. Step two, you've got to rewrite it. Now, sometimes that's done through exposure therapy or, just getting yourself in that position and forcing yourself to do it. I've worked with, salespeople who just could not pick up the phone because the rejection was too much. You know, those guys are getting rejected all day, every day. And, to take on that much pain, your nervous system is hardwired against it. So, I teach them tricks to, we've all had days when we don't want to get out of bed and, the world's just too much. And we've all had days where we're like, step aside, I'll handle this, right?
Right.
Did your capabilities change between those 2 days? I would argue no. What did change? Your state, right? Your physical state. You carried your body differently. Your energy was different. Mm-hmm. And when you start by getting yourself into that state, then again, you'll start spotting those $20 bills in your life. Even that's called a perceptual filter, but those actually change. They're based on your mood. It's some wild stuff. But beyond that, if you've really got like a severe case, you've been trying for years and just can't break through, usually that's some type of an identity issue. Now, your identity was formed mostly between the ages of 0 and 7. That's what's called the imprinting phase for human beings.
Right.
Your brain was taking in huge amounts of data, but it didn't have what's called your critical faculty yet, which means you couldn't judge anything that was coming in. And so kids, that's when we develop the vast majority of false beliefs about ourselves. Kids will internalize everything. Classic example is mom and dad are fighting. I must have done something wrong.
Right.
When in reality you had nothing to do with it. But by the age of 7, when you develop that ability to judge that stuff coming in, your personality is pretty much formed. So when I'm working with someone, I always bring them back to those years. All right, what was going on? Who were the people around you? What happened to you during those years? And then we get into, all right, how did this impact you? What processes are you running? What programs are you running as a result of this? And that is the root cause in the vast majority of cases. We developed our identity, self-concept or whatnot in those really early years, and you will never outperform it. You might get out of it for a little while, but we all have what's called it's like an internal thermostat. You'll bring yourself down, back down. I think I'm, $100,000 a year person, in a sales example, and I hit that 100,000 by October, what am I going to do the rest of the year? Just going to, cruise, right? If I think I'm a $200,000 person, and I hit that same 100,000 in October, I'm going to be hustling like crazy the last few months of the year, You know what right. I mean? It's like that. You're always going to stay within that identity. And again, it's mostly subconscious.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I would like to run through one of the NLP theories. If you like, just give the audience a little example of how you
okay. work. My favorite one, and this because this is one we all deal with, is stress, right?
Yes.
So if you can think of something that brings up stress for you, hopefully not anything too scary, maybe a 5 out of 10, but you know, it could be an overdue bill, a conversation you don't want to have, maybe a person who intimidates you a little bit. Mm-hmm. But think of whatever that is for you and notice, where do you feel that in your body? Point to it. Now, if you're not driving, you might want to pause this for go ahead, close your eyes. You don't have to for this exercise, but it will make it more powerful. But in your mind's eye, if that feeling had a color, what color would it be? First impression.
This would be red.
Gray. Awesome. Is there more than one color?
Black.
Ooh, gray and black. All right. If that gray and black feeling had a shape,
red and black.
Okay. Green and black.
Red.
Oh, red and black. I'm sorry. I'm messing you up already. All right. That red and black feeling, if it had a shape, what shape would it be? You know, first impression.
I don't know. It's like a dark ball, I guess.
Okay, cool. All right. That red, black, dark ball, if it were moving, what direction would it be turning in? If it's hard to tell, you can try turning it one way then the other. See what feels more natural.
It's like it's spinning.
Okay. What direction?
I want to say to the left.
Oh, okay, perfect. Left. Try turning it the opposite way and see what happens to the feeling. Feel a change at all?
I guess I feel a little less tense.
Okay. Good. All right. We're changing already. Perfect. So find the direction that feels best for you, maybe the most peaceful, most empowering. Whatever is the best for you, just take it and run with it. Now you can spin it up in that new direction. If that makes it feel better for you, make it go faster and faster while you drain all that color right out of it. Just make it totally transparent there and then fill it back up with whatever color you like. Some people like gold or pink, green or blue. Mm-hmm. Whatever feels best for you, more peaceful, more power, whatever you like.
Okay.
Still spinning it in your favorite direction, try adding sparkle to it and watch it start to swirl throughout like a candy cane or one of those poles in front of a barbershop.
Okay.
I see a very peaceful look on your face and I'm taking it to mean that we were successful.
Yes, I feel a lot. That calmer. Is
Yeah, that's NLP. What did we do? We took a physical process, right? Mm-hmm. And we gave it a visual component, right? And what we're doing is we're communicating to your subconscious. Subconscious controls everything in your body that you don't have to think about. Your breathing, your heartbeat, body temperature, how much insulin you create after a meal. Also that pit in your stomach or that red and black spinning ball, right? So once we give it a picture, we communicate to your subconscious, okay, let's do this with it instead. And your subconscious can absolutely do that.
Nice.
It's really powerful exercise, really simple, which I love, but that's the basis of NLP. We're basically giving you an operator's manual for your own mind.
Oh, that's beautiful. I did. I felt like I relaxed a little bit. It's like, okay, I could breathe.
Yeah. That exercise, I give free exercises in my free content on social media. That exercise was my very first live that I ever did. And take a while, guess why I picked that one. I'm sitting there doing it the entire time.
Right. But I bet. That's a good one. That's something you can do anywhere and just take time out. Like at work, if you're at work, you can take on your break. Just do it really quickly. Get yourself centered.
You could be in the middle of a meeting and just do it. Nobody will even know.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to close your eyes for it. It just, it helps you visualize. But once you've done it once or twice, then you know the process. So you can just do it on the fly.
Nice. That's good. That's awesome. So I know you gave us a little backstory a little bit. Getting into this, what was the purpose? Like, why Why did you want to start doing this?
2016, I got a severe brain injury. I was hiking tide pools with my kids, and I slipped and landed the back of my head on a slab of solid rock. I hit so hard, my brain actually rebounded, hit the top of my skull, and I twisted the bar here above my eyes really bad, you know, damaging my optic nerve and all that. For the next several years, I was so sensitive to light and sound, I couldn't even be in a room with the lights on. It was just too painful. If you've ever been zapped by electricity and felt that intense, like pins and needles type feeling, that's what was going on in my head. Pain. But I spent the first probably year and a half just going through every medical study that was out there. I had four different neurologists. The first one told me there's nothing I can do for you, and then tries to schedule me for a follow-up visit. I'm like, why am I going to come back if there's nothing you could do for me? You know, I didn't say that, but you know, it didn't make sense to me. So on a neuro number two, he gave me a pill that took a little bit of the sting away. I'm like, okay, this is progress. I was having a really hard time sleeping because the pain would make it hard to sleep, which made the pain worse. So I was going through these brutal downward spirals. And I asked him, you know, can you give me something to help me sleep? And because of my injury, they didn't want to give me the regular, you know, Ambien and stuff like that. He's like, no, there's nothing I can give you. So on to neuro number three. And she's right away, she says, oh, yeah, let me give you amitriptyline. And it worked. I could get a nice, you know, consistent 7 hours of sleep a night and fixed a huge problem for me. I'm beyond grateful to all my doctors. I wouldn't be where I am without them. The only reason I tell that story is how many people would have stopped with that first one? You know what I mean? If you're facing a big health challenge like that, you've got to really take charge. And if that, you know, we have this thing where, you know, if somebody's got a lab coat and a piece of paper on the wall, yeah, those doctors knew more than I did, you know, medically, but they didn't know everything. You know what I mean? And so, I realized after, you know, about a year and a half that, you know, on the tiny subject of a brain injury, I had actually gathered more, you know, information than they had. I'd read every medical study out there. And that really terrified me because I realized medical science was not going to get me out of that dark room. You know, I'd nicknamed it my dungeon. I had, you know, hefty bags taped over the windows and all that. It's not an uplifting environment, but I had to find a way out of there. So at this point, I'm, you know, despite being a total skeptic all my life, I started looking around for, all right, what else is out there? And lucky for me, I live in California, so I had a lot to choose from. I got into energy medicine and all that. One of the first things I tried was called Reiki. And I told you I had the pins and needles in my head.
Right.
The best description I can give is she took those pins and needles and kind of made them fly in formation, if that makes sense. And I'm like, whoa, I have no idea what you're doing, but please don't stop. So at the end of that session, I asked her, can you teach me how to do that? And so I spent a few days with her, learned Reiki. I went out and learned pranic healing, Qigong, just anything that helped me. I just tried to just dive in and get good at it. And I started to turn the tide. My brain was healing, did a huge amount of healing over the next couple of years, but I just could not shake that light and sound sensitivity. And so at this point, I'm thinking, do I have permanent damage? So I found a special type of brain scan called a SPECT. MRIs look at the tissue, which doesn't tell you a lot if you got a brain injury, unless you got something really wrong. A SPECT will actually map the electrical activity in the brain, see if there's any areas that are, you know, not functioning. So I got my scan. And long story short, my brain was okay, but areas that were supposed to be dark were lit up like fireworks. And that was the day I was diagnosed with PTSD. And right away, I knew why my brain wasn't healing, because with a brain injury, the name of the game is bringing your brainwaves down to give your brain a chance to rest and repair itself. My PTSD was keeping me in fight or flight and sabotaging the healing process. So I knew if I wanted to beat the brain injury, I had to heal the PTSD first. And again, I had no clue how to do that, but I had, you know, a couple of really good leads, you know, hypnosis and NLP. And so I just dove in. It took me about 2.5 years. I went to the school, got quadruple certified and, you know, hypnosis and NLP and all that. Asked every instructor, every instructor I had, I asked them the same question, you know, how do you heal PTSD? And they all tried to help me, but none of them really had the answer. And so, you know, back to the internet, and I studied, you know, the masters of both, you know, every course, every, you know, book that I could find. I just binged for about 2.5 years straight. And I finally put together a protocol where I was able to heal myself and nice. Found my calling in the process. I love this stuff, obviously, because I can't shut up about it. But so I love geeking out about it. Wow. I definitely don't want another one. But the brain injury wound up being a huge blessing for me because it got me onto the right path.
That's good. That's great, though. I'm glad you were able to find something that helped you, but you also learned a whole lot more going along with it as well. So that's really beautiful. And I'm so happy that you're here with us and can be in the light with us.
Me too. Me too. It made it all worth it. You know, I get to hang with you now.
Right. Okay. So you guys, we are going to go into our quote of the night here. And our quote comes from Matt himself. And it states, "You don't break old patterns by fighting them. You break them by choosing differently long enough to become someone new." And with that being said, Matt, did you want to just give a little brief insight on that quote there?
I'll use going to the gym as an example because that's something a lot of us struggle with, right? Every New Year's, you can see it in a couple of weeks. You know, my gym is packed. You can't even get to a machine. And by week two, we've lost about half the new people. By week three, it's back to normal. Why do so many people give up 2 weeks into a 52-week year, right? Most of us take the approach of, I'm going to starve myself and work out 6 hours a day, right? Most of us, myself included, would quit by probably like day two on that program. And what you want to do instead, any kind of change you want to make, if I'm using the gym, but this will work for dieting, this will work for career things, you know, mm-hmm. relationships, whatever. Just start where you are and take a baby step. And then tomorrow you take another one. I call it 2 millimeter shifts, but if you improve on something 1% per day, at the end of a year, that is not 365%. That 1% will compound on itself. And at the end of a year, it's 3,700% improvement. That's 37 times just by improving 1% a day. You snowball your momentum. If you just, again, start where you are. You don't want to try to take on too much pain at once, but just stretch a little bit outside your comfort zone, and before long, you start to pick up momentum and it seems easy and, you know, hopefully fun, but
that's good.
That's the process to change yourself, step outside your comfort zone.
That's beautiful. I got to do that with the gym because I always stop within the first 5 minutes. Like I'm done.
The other part of that equation is fun gets done. Now, me, I love listening to, you know, personal development stuff. I was, you know, heavy into Tony for a long time and I love basketball. So I would always have, you know, something good in my ear. So I'm feeding my brain at the same time I'm working out. And I would always end my workouts with 10 minutes of shooting hoops. With those two approaches, the 2 millimeter shifts and the fun gets done. There was a time in my life where the only time I could work out was to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. For 6 years, I can count on one hand the number of workouts I missed just with those two approaches. Just 2 millimeter shifts and fun gets done. It gives you, you know, when that alarm clock went off at 4 o'clock in the morning, I never once wanted to get up, but I could flash on those pictures and be like, all right, all I got to do is get there and I get to have all this fun. So it works. Yeah.
That's good. Good. Okay, Matt, I would like for you to give the audience some where they can get your NLPs, your free link and everything where they can go to. It'll also be in the episode notes for you guys as well, but I do want them to let you guys know as well.
Sure. Thank you. They can go to Matt Johnson NLP. That's MattJohnsonNLP for neurolinguistic programming.com. I have a free course up there. It's called NLP Mind Magic. It is my top 10 requested issues. We do an NLP exercise for each one of them. We do the unspinning fear like we did a few minutes ago. We do things for limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, validation, just procrastination. All the stuff that people are asking me about, I just put together into a course. And, you know, you can check it out, you know, at your leisure.
Nice. Thank you. Well, thank you again, Matt, for helping us peel back the layers tonight. So this conversation isn't about blame. It's about understanding. It's about choosing ourselves in ways we never learned how. And if you're listening tonight, you're not choosing what hurts you because you want pain. You're choosing what feels familiar because your heart hasn't been taught a new language yet. But we can learn one choice at a time, you guys. So if this episode spoke to you guys, replay it, sit with it, share it, and let it be a reminder that awareness is the first step to freedom. And as always, you guys, take a deep breath, relax, let your mind be at ease, and remember that the night always has something to say. Until next time, you guys, see you later.